All right. Hey, welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. It's been a while. We are here at the Sunstroke House. We got a house show. We have Sydney Sprague.
Yep. Hi.
Gabrielle Grace.
Gabrielle Grace. I was close to doing...
It's okay, and if you did, it would have been totally fine.
You like my hat. I like your hat.
Exactly.
Hats are cool. Where are y'all from?
I'm from Phoenix, Arizona.
Phoenix, Arizona?
Yeah, Nashville, Tennessee.
But you're in Texas now?
Well, I guess born and raised in Texas, and then lived in Nashville for about 10 years.
So how did y'all two meet?
We met in Nashville through a friend of ours, Jason, in the band Michigander, if you've ever heard of them.
Mm-hmm.
We both had sang on songs of his, and then I was in Nashville earlier this year and walked into a coffee shop where Gabrielle was working.
Well,
we were like, we know each other from the internet.
Yeah.
And so we became very good friends.
Served them coffee.
Really
That's how it all starts, right?
Yep.
So I'm guessing the move to Nashville is the same reason everybody moves to Nashville. You were wanting to go be a barista. That's why everybody
goes.
Yeah, actually, never.
I didn't plan on doing music, funny enough. I actually had a pretty significant church background, and so I went to school at a Christian private school.
Me too.
Yeah, where at?
University of Mobile.
I didn't know that was a Christian university.
And they are really well known for their music.
Yeah.
Like, that's their thing.
Really?
Like, of course they do theology and missions, but
like the worship
people
music.
Go there for music.
Yeah, I technically did go for music, but it was in an ministry way. So I guess yes and no, but I wasn't, yeah.
Cool hats and same backstory.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Sorry.
No, I'm just trying to figure out what else we're going to have in common.
Yeah.
All right, so growing up in Phoenix, what was that like?
It was pretty good. I actually also was born in Texas, and so I lived there.
We're twins, actually.
Yeah, until I was...
Separated at birth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, kind of back and forth my whole life between Austin and Phoenix. My parents kind of just moving back and forth over and over again. But I love being in the desert. It's a pretty weird place to live, but...
Two great music towns. Is it military brat or like just parents moving back and forth for work?
Yeah, my parents moved me out when I was 11 and then had some family stuff going on later. So we moved back to be with my grandma and ended up back in Phoenix again.
Well, early influences, like what kind of got you to where you're here now playing at the Sunstroke House?
Like, I mean, for me, big time, like Avril Lavigne, Kelly Clarkson, emo girl music was what got me really, really into writing songs.
How'd you find that? Was it like a friend or just the radio?
I think maybe just the radio. I bought a chord book of Avril Lavigne songs, was how I learned to play guitar. I just learned that the whole album, Let Go, by Avril Lavigne. And
very cool. What about you? How'd you get into it? I know church background, but.
My sisters heavily lived to or listened to Pearl Jam and Red Hot Chili Peppers, and so I feel like I grew up with that, and then my dad listened to Johnny Cash and old country, and so I feel like I had very different music that I was just like, for my first instrument was drums, and so banging on the pots and pans to literally anything, and then guitar I was into guitar riffs and just all the cool stuff like that, but also Coldplay. I listened to the early Parachutes record and stuff like that, but probably had an array of different stuff in my family growing up.
I'm glad you brought up Coldplay, because what we're going to do here tonight for the show is we're going to bring up our Kiss cam and we're going to expose somebody.
Let's go.
that was a very funny thing.
That was very funny.
But neither here nor there. So kind of a big family, kind of everybody musical? Or
no, I was... I was the only one that
took to it.
Yeah, I don't know. I was nine and I was I love music. But I didn't grow up with live music or anything like that. I just kind of would trap myself. My dad had a little office and I would be on ultimateguitar.com and YouTube.
Yeah.
And I kind of just taught myself. And so my parents were really supportive and bought me a drum kit and guitar. But it was kind of just my own thing. And it was really cool because I felt like I was really shy with it. I was no one listened to me. I also wasn't a singer at first. I never sang until I was 18 in front of people.
What made you want to start?
I don't know. Probably, I mean, the church, I did sing, but not really. I was mainly a player, but I think my grandma has a significant relationship with me, and she was like, I was putting secretive covers on YouTube and like a private link, and my grandma found it, and she passed when I was 16 and had pancreatic cancer, and I think she was a huge reason. She was like, Gabrielle, why aren't you singing in front of people? And so I was like, oh, you know, when someone that close to you passes and they tell you that, it was like really significant to me. So yeah, I owe it to her for sure.
Right on. I get that. I used to background like singing in church when I was a kid, like mm-hmm. 9 years old, a little bit older. And I saw my best friend, he played Proud Mary by Cross, every CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revival. Mm-hmm. And I was like 15, I was like, you can do that? And I was living at my grandparents at the time. I told my grandma, I got home, I was like, I want to rock.
Yeah.
I want a guitar.
Yeah.
And so,
as you should.
Just as soon as we could. I mean, we came over here. It doesn't exist now, but there used to be a place downtown. It was called DC Music. Uh-huh. And scooped up a guitar. And that was right at the time where Ultimate Guitar and yep. YouTube and everything was kind of prime. Yeah. So stepping off into all the influence, of course, Blink-182, Sum 41, stuff like that. Yeah. Some pop punk, and then mm-hmm, stepped up into Def Cab for Cutie.
Me
and
too.
On into it.
Yeah. Me too. Yep.
So you mentioned like the Michiganders kind of bringing y'all together. Mm-hmm. Y'all sang on some of the same songs. Y'all kind of probably heard of each other. And what kind of solidified y'all being friends? And I mean, just a little bit about this tour.
Yeah, so we had met at that coffee shop, kind of like, I was like, damn, I really like Gabrielle. And so we kind of started talking on Instagram, and then I announced this tour. Or I can't remember if I had already announced it or
not. I don't think you have, because I was like, she's releasing a lot of new music. And then I was releasing a lot of new music, and I was like, damn, this is good music. And I'm just like such a fan. And so I messaged, I think your manager first, and then you.
Yeah, she messaged me on Instagram, I think, and was like, if you ever need an opener for a tour. And I was like in the process of booking this tour. And like the second I got that message, I messaged my agent, and I was like, I want Gabrielle to do it. So it just came together, and then
the friendship solidified on the tour.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, tell me a little bit about, just stepping back, I watched your audio tree.
Oh, thank today. You for watching.
That was great.
Thank you.
I like the live sound. I like the full band sound. You got a very...
Thank you.
I mean, when you talked about your influences, I definitely hear it.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
So it's definitely there. But also, like, with just, like, newer alternative indie, I mean, you carry on that sound well, too.
Thank you.
But tell me a lot, just the path from those early days to getting the first record ready.
Yeah.
What's going on?
So, I mean, I've been playing music since I was a kid. Probably, I think I started playing, like, open mics and stuff when I was, like, 10.
Oh, wow.
And so I was doing that for a long time. I played a lot of cover gigs and stuff like that, and I was writing music that whole time. So I, like, released a long series of EPs probably before I was ready to be putting music out into the world. It was not good.
All right, I got a two-parter here.
Okay.
When you look back to that then, is it cringe?
It's so cringe.
Okay.
Unbelievably cringe.
But I mean, here's the thing, and we talk about it a lot here on the show, is you had to do it.
Mm-hmm. I had to do it. Yeah. And people, there are still people that had heard those songs at the time that will message me and be like, why are these EPs gone? I need this song. And I'm like, it's bad and you can't have it. So, you know, all that led to, I saved up a whole bunch of money leading up to 2019 is when I made my first record. I actually made it at the Death Cab for Cutie studio, because
really?
They were hugely influential to me, my favorite band. And so I just wanted to be like in the space where they made all their records. And so we went to Seattle and made that record end of 2019.
Is that the same room where they did the live music video, the long version of I Will Possess Your Heart?
It might be. It's called Hall of Justice.
I think it is.
Yeah, it's a very, very cool studio. So we did that, and then got it ready to put out, started releasing it early 2020, and then that year happened.
Same band that you was in?
So it's mostly the same band now. My bass player and guitar player are still the same as at that time. But that Audio Tree is the first time we ever played live together, because it was coming straight out of COVID.
It was still
kind of lockdown time. Whoa. Thank you. I appreciate that, because we were so scared.
Yeah, like, it was terrifying. The first two songs went by, and you hadn't even, like, introduced yourself with the band, and right when you weren't singing anymore, you were just talking. I was like, oh, she's nervous.
So nervous. So, yeah, that was the first time we ever played any of those songs, ever played as a band. So that was, like, 0 to 100.
How did that whole Audio Tree kind of... was that your manager? Or
that was through my label at the time, I think, hooked that up for me. So very cool. It was very cool.
All right, so first album, Def Cab for Cutie Studios, went up there to Seattle. Mm-hmm. Got management and some touring behind that one.
Yep.
Where are we at today?
So did that one, did a second record a couple years later.
The second record, would that be the first time you played here?
Yeah, that was on the headline tour for that record.
Okay.
And then got dropped from my label last year, which was blessing in disguise because it gave me a lot of freedom to explore some new processes on the new record. And so me and my bass player and guitar player who were with me tonight, we produced the new record at our house and were like really... got to take everything into our own hands.
DIY,
baby. So and we made all the music videos on our own. We did all the art. The whole process was just like truly an art project that we got to do together, and it was very fun.
Still a thing I find incredibly important is music videos. Mm-hmm. I still watch
music video.
Yeah. You know, I don't really even care if it's like just you and the band just faking it live. Right. Or if you kind of develop a story around it.
Right.
You could use locations, you could do different places, kind of create the feel, but I think it's just another media that you can use to kind of get your message across, the if story. There was any.
Yeah, totally.
You know,
yeah.
You can do it on the visual side.
I think I really enjoy like hearing or perceiving a song for the first time that way. Like having a visual with the music helps me kind of understand what's happening, and it adds another layer of vibe.
Yeah. Gabrielle, tell me a little bit about your journey with the music.
Oh man. Actually, funny enough, my first show in Nashville was a house show. So I was like, man, this is really cool. Probably 2017 around then.
I'm gonna guess East Nashville?
Probably. Sounds about right. I don't remember. I was in college. And yeah, I was just like, I played music, but I was never considered myself a songwriter, and so I started writing, and I actually did my first record that's no longer on streaming platforms because it's...
My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Cringe.
Yeah.
And
had to get it out of the way.
Yeah, me and my buddy Corey, he produced his first record, which was mine, and did it at our college. And it was, I'd stayed on campus, and then I would go at night, record, play sand volleyball, then do the same thing the next day. And so, yeah, I was kind of, again, still like a passion thing. I was still heavily involved in the church, and I was trying to balance both. And then my first producer, Keith Harris, was like, hey, I really think that you have something, and kind of was like, this is no longer just like a passion project for me, and you know, because it costs money and lots of it. So I was like, if I'm gonna be passionate about this, I have to be passionate with my wallet too. And so yeah, it was probably 2019 when I started, and 2021 I had my first EP that I started releasing singles during the prime time of COVID, and did my first tour 2 weeks, acoustic house shows, 2021. And then, long story short, had some life happen in 2021, wrote my debut record, and then put that out in 2023, and then released an EP this past June. And yeah, It's kind of the short, condensed version.
Okay.
But,
well, yeah. The first full length, live stuff happened. Took a heartbreak or just a big change?
I found out, long story short, that my mom told me that I had a different dad, and my biological dad passed before I had the chance to know him. And I had a dad my whole life, but I just thought he was my biological dad. And, yeah, and so my mom told me, like, early 2021, and I was like, I now have what I want to write about. Because I was kind of in the place of, like, I don't know, life was just really good. And you can write good songs, but I write a lot of good, better songs when also I'm a little sad. And just the story's insane. And so, yeah, I had that happen. And I was like, well, I did a Kickstarter for, like, $20,000, and that was the most stressful 30 days of my entire life. And so,
scale of 1 to 10, how annoying do you think you were to your friends?
Oh, I was annoying myself. I looked in the mirror and said, you're annoying every single day. That record means a lot to me. I would try not to be too precious with, like, production stuff, because there are some things I wish I could change, but I'm really proud of it too. And the songs mean a lot to me. Well, yeah.
Very cool.
Some light stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to hold y'all too long. It won't be long. It'll be showtime. I was thinking maybe we'll do maybe 3 or 4 more questions.
Okay. Yeah.
The door. They're pretty fun.
Good. Yeah.
Perfect.
All right. Question one, it kind of goes into maybe back into that Kickstarter thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just like with where y'all are with social media and just touring and building a following. I know a lot of bands during that COVID era, such as like the Red Clay Strays, kind of hit their stride and was mm-hmm. found by RCA because of TikTok. Like, do you have a preferred social media, or do you kind of see like just for those listening, maybe trying to get in and figure it out, where do you find the most success?
I don't know. It's really hard because I feel like they're all changing all the time. Mm-hmm. And so you think you have a game, and then
Instagram will change that algorithm on you.
Oh, man. And so, growing up, I mean, being kind of on the ground floor with Instagram when it came out, I've always been a big Instagram person. Mm-hmm. I'm a millennial. And so I love posting my pictures on Instagram. And,
absolutely.
I still get joy from that, but the algorithm doesn't quite reward that anymore. So I'm figuring out my new place in the world. I am a huge consumer of TikTok. I will be on TikTok. That's one thing about me. Same. Is I will be on scrolling
she's
TikTok.
She's on there.
She's on. She's watching videos.
Online, same.
I'm learning. I'm learning to love to participate in TikTok as much as I like watching it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in a similar vein. I grew up on Instagram and TikTok. What happened in like 2020?
Mm-hmm.
Dances, you know.
Take me back. There it is.
Yeah.
This is why this should be a video podcast.
We're doing
all the TikTok dances.
I feel like I am trying to find my place also in TikTok and social media in general. And that line, we were talking about this the other day, of like trying to like fully still be yourself while presenting
a product
and also people's attention span. As someone who watches Brain Rot every single day, it's like, how do you stay true to yourself while also presenting the product and trying to find that balance, and also while having fun, because there's a way to do it that doesn't seem daunting and just negative.
There was a 17th century philosopher, and he used to teach at whatever college would be during that time, and this is what tells me, it kind of gives me hope mm-hmm. for humanity. Is when he was teaching people how to write, he would always tell people, he said, with each sentence, with each paragraph, he's like, you have to capture the audience's attention and keep it. And I was like, so ADHD, ADD. I mean, we know more about that, but it's always been that way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they didn't have social media, maybe, but they were reading. And he was making that point. Way back then, he's like, you have got to, you know, don't bore us, get to the chorus. Get in there and get it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Anything else on socials? Oh, where's the best place to follow the story?
Probably the Instagram or, TikTok is, I do a kind of a different thing, but Instagram is where you'll find the most information about what I'm
Information and professionalism for me is on TikTok. On Instagram, and then if you want to see another side of me, maybe dabble in the TikTok.
Yeah.
All right. Number two is like just with this tour, just looking at some of the places that y'all have been and some of the places that you're going.
Yeah.
A lot of great indie live venues, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a very stacked tour. Just what do you make of like, and you can pick examples, you can keep it anonymous, but like, we're at a house show in Columbus, Mississippi, and what, the tour kicked off in Phoenix?
Well, it started in Oklahoma City. Yeah, we're ending in Phoenix.
Getting it back. But, yeah. I mean, just from, like, house show to the different venues, is, like, do you have preference? Like, I'm, as a fan of music, mm-hmm. and, I mean, even with the liquor store show I have that I was telling y'all about, is, like, I kind of like those more intimate settings to where it's... It's not a blown-out crowd, and it's not... There's people here to watch music or to drink with a friend. Everybody is here for the same reason.
Yeah,
right.
And that's what I kind of... That's what I want to be a part of.
Yeah.
What y'all have preference in this?
I don't think I have a preference. I find pretty equal joy in, like, a banging club show. Mm-hmm. Like, a big crowd. We had a couple New York show on this run was just a big, loud crowd of people singing and... full band, but I also really, really love an intimate environment where I can kind of like talk more about the songs and mm-hmm. people are really engaged and interested to hear more on the backstory of stuff. Both are just like incredibly satisfying in different ways.
Yeah. I feel like it's both a gift to be here and at a club, you know. I think it's the chance to share music and like you said, everyone's there for the same thing. So it brings me equal joy, but I love being able to also talk about the songs in an intimate way. And it's been really cool to experience both.
Yeah. And that's one thing, you know, if I were to catch you at the club, it's more of a, I would guess more upbeat. We're keeping things mm-hmm. moving. Let's go.
Yeah.
And then right here is I kind of like, just as a fan of music, I get more of an opportunity to like, kind of get the backstory like really become a fan.
We're getting in
invest
the weeds.
In it. We're getting the big old weeds.
Yeah.
The tumble.
All right. Let's do maybe two more. I know at least one.
All right.
Fortunate enough to travel. This is a two-parter.
Mm-hmm.
Where is a place that you've been that you would like to get back to, and where is a place that you haven't had a chance to get to yet but you want to go?
I don't know. I honestly, I love it here in Columbus. It's really, really beautiful. I would like to spend more time here. And the other Columbus in Ohio is another mm-hmm. big favorite. I love any place named Columbus, apparently.
Yeah.
Big Columbus fan.
Columbus, Georgia.
I haven't had the pleasure yet of Columbus, Georgia, but I'm sure I would love it.
As a fan of
all of the Columbuses. Place I haven't been yet. I haven't been to the UK yet, and I am going in February. I'm very, very excited about that.
For leisure or
for a tour? I'm going over there to play some shows. Thank mm-hmm. you. I'm so excited.
That's always a huge milestone, right?
Mm-hmm. Huge, yeah. And I haven't really left like the continental United States. I've been to Canada and Mexico, but I've never really been over the ocean. So I'm really excited.
I was fortunate enough, this was church music, but I've been fortunate enough to like play over Central and South America.
So mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah.
We had a pretty rocking church band back in my college days, mm-hmm. and like that church would fly us all over Central and South America to go play.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
But I was like, I wonder if I'll ever get to do this with like my personal stuff. Not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Never too late.
But it's not a young man's game. I might get in there. What's up, Gabriel?
I would say I liked Madison, Wisconsin a lot.
Oh, Madison was so cute.
Yeah. I stayed with some friends there after the show, and it's just like a gorgeous walkable. I don't know. I didn't know what to expect. I've never been to Madison, Wisconsin. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh my God, I'm in love.
I just knew I liked that 70s show, right?
Yeah, exactly. Place I've never played. I think I'm playing in Oregon on the 5th of December, and I'm excited because I've never played a lot of West Coast shows, and so I'm really excited to...
I think you'll like that part of the country.
I think so, yeah. I'm excited, and it's going to be, like, probably really cold and really pretty. So I've been to Seattle. I love Seattle so much, and so I'm really excited to get to Oregon.
Right on. I do have another question.
Okay.
We'll wrap it up with this. We were talking a little bit about music, but just to kind of peel back, maybe hitting the road in the morning, moving on to the next town.
Mm-hmm.
What's the playlist? Do you listen to music, or are you podcasting? What are you going to do?
My band and I have kind of like a lot of activities that we do, and we also just yap a lot. So I would say primarily we are yapping.
We got a van full of yappers. Yeah,
we are talking about lots of stuff. But we've also been doing a fun thing on this tour where we made a playlist of a song a day. So every day we all pick a song and we all listen to them together, and we've been compiling them in a playlist. So that's been a really cool way to
be
like
a public release.
I mean, I'm probably gonna post about it once it's done, but I think that's been a cool way to kind of just like get inside each other's heads and kind of assess everyone's vibes for the day of just like, oh, okay, that's a really that's a scary song. They're screaming,
yeah,
and you're
not okay.
Yeah,
right. I'm gonna warn you of that. You might get a DM from me, and I might just get in on this. I was like, this is my song for today.
Yeah, honestly, please.
You should.
Get in.
I just might.
I would love your recommendations.
Everybody. Oh, okay. Yeah. Very cool. All right, everybody, this has been Sydney and Gabrielle. We are at the Sunstroke House in Columbus, Mississippi. Thank y'all so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having us.
Cool. How was that?
That was great.